Welcome to The Real Short Box. My name is Kevin.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Donald.
Today we will be discussing a hypothetical possibility of a
situation. Some situations.
Something I've discussed with Donald, Jared, and Kim and other people over the last...
Usually, yeah, we call each other when we're on the toilet and talk about it.
Yes, we do.
And it's like, hey, I have this idea... It's a really cool idea. It has to do with... It's awkward, but we get through it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I came up with this idea a couple years ago when Marvel launched its Netflix series, Daredevil. And then, of course, from there, Jessica Jones and all the other shows. Luke Cage and Iron Fist and, of course, the Defenders. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, DC should do the same thing. Now, of course, they have the CW shows. But I figured if you wanted to get... A very dark...
Like a better show.
A better show, you know, a darker universe show. It would be good if they hooked up with Amazon and did a Justice League Dark TV series. But before that, much like the Defenders, you have separate individual stories.
Yeah, so basically what we're talking about is Amazon acquiring the rights to DC Comics properties.
Yes.
And doing a TV series.
Based on Justice League Dark characters.
Based on Justice League Dark. But we're going to expand that a little bit in with some other ideas we have for other properties from the DC world that Amazon, hint, hint, might want to look into. So you were saying Justice League Dark, that was the one that you were big on.
Right. Basically, you would have characters like Swamp Thing, Deadman, Constantine, Zatanna. You give them all individual shows, much like as Marvel Netflix did, and then you build up a Justice League Dark team-up. Something similar.
Right. So break it down for me, though. How many characters would be in Justice League Dark?
For the sake of a story, I would say five.
Five characters?
I would say five.
Okay.
I
mean, and obviously you want Swamp Thing and Constantine, yeah?
Swamp Thing, Constantine, Deadman for sure.
Okay, so three.
Zatanna, because I think it'd be cool to have a magician,
right.
With magical powers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one we were talking about? That'd be really good.
Well, I wanted the Black Orchid.
Black Orchid wouldn't be bad, but Black Orchid, I think you can bring in on one of the shows, kind of like as a backup character. So Black Orchid, so as a matter of fact, the Justice League Dark team could be seven or eight people. It's just we would just have five primary shows.
Right. Well, yeah, and also... I would be fine with the Black Orchid having her own individual series, not within that world too.
Even separate.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with that, and I can go over that in a little bit. But who would be your fifth?
My fifth. I would see here who would be a good fifth character.
We don't already have this planned out. Jesus. I thought you were ready.
Hey, don't harp on people who aren't planned.
Animal Man.
Really? Part of Justice League Dark? That's interesting.
I'll tell you why, and this is unusual. Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, maybe for me reading the New 52, when it came out, it was one of the few stories I really liked. It was Animal Man and Swamp Thing. Animal Man representing the red, Swamp Thing representing the green.
Mm.
So I thought it'd be cool if you did it, kind of absorb.
Okay, I can see that. And then you bring in the gray... The rot, basically. The rot.
The black. I thought it was the black, the rot.
No, it was the rot. You bring in the rot like part of
the
reason why they need to band together.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I could see that.
Yes.
Whole first season has to revolve around things like you start out with like a family out in the Midwest. They like got a farm or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the you know, the kid's like out playing and then he drops his stuffed toy and he starts screaming. And then the parents run out to see and like... All the field is just rotted.
Rotted
like
away.
There's just shit dripping, black shit, rot, stuff kind of moving and wiggling around, maggots and stuff.
And this is like, perfect for television. It's perfect for television. See, if you did it in a movie, the problem is you don't have enough time.
No, you
don't.
And
TV, it'd be perfect to like stretch this out over a season. You build up the mystery, you build up the tension.
Yep.
And it would be great. And then, yes, and then when the time is right, you bring all these characters together. For, you know, exactly, for why the right have to come together, because they have to defeat the rot. They have to defeat, oh gosh, what's the guy's name?
I know who you're talking about. He's Swamp Thing's number one nemesis.
Starts with a letter A's in there, too.
Arcane. Yeah.
And that would be the main purposes. Kind of like with Netflix's Defenders, you know, they're taking on the Hand.
Yeah. Or even what they did with the New 52 with the Justice... I think it was the Justice Society or something like that, or I can't remember what. But they had the guy that was in charge of the Rot, which was part of like the Gray, I think they called it or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, Solomon Grundy
was in with that.
Yeah,
which would be cool.
And he could be introduced at some point as well.
Yeah, he would like be Arcane's like thug. You know what I mean? Like his protector, so to speak. So while he's doing shit, Grundy's like out there causing havoc. Yeah, I could see that. That could work really well.
And also, of course, with each individual show, you build up each character. So you start with Swamp Thing, for example. You know, you empathize with Dr. Alec Holland and his love interest and the things right. that he lost now, when he was human.
Now, let me ask you, would you go the Alan Moore route in which Alec Holland never really existed as Swamp Thing? Just his conscience was absorbed into the swamp and became part of the creature known as Swamp Thing? Or would you go with the classic Alec Holland bonds with these roots and this swamp stuff to become Swamp Thing? So it actually technically is Alec.
That's a very good question.
I think if it was me, I would go classic. Because to me, it's more relatable to people watching it.
Right. Like so in other words, better for television. So people can sit there like, okay, I get this.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like when you have more of a human identity,
it helps.
It's easier, to relate to.
People could connect to that because most people, unfortunately, not gonna have time to sit there and try to put this piece together and get too esoteric. You know, you kind of give them kind of a straight linear storyline to follow, and so something they can connect to right away. Okay,
yeah. What about you, Kim? Which one would you pick?
Like, I would do the human aspect one for sure. Yeah.
It's kind of similar a little bit to the Walking Dead concept I talked about in one of our previous podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walking Dead, the thing that's brilliant about that show is the zombies are just background noise. It's about the human characters and what they're going through.
And then a lot of people don't realize that when they're watching.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Right. They're watching a drama.
Right.
They're literally watching a soap opera with zombies.
Yeah. And that's why it's so popular, especially amongst women. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, Kim, but you know, a lot of ladies wouldn't necessarily have liked the traditional zombie movie. Arr, yum, yum, yum. You know, they chomp up people.
Yum,
and,
yum, yum.
You know, people running for their lives, screaming. You know, it's old. Well, I mean, it gets stale.
It would get boring. It would get absolutely boring. The interesting thing is, like, the human complexion and everything. It's always interesting.
The conflict, the human conflict.
Yeah. It's like when I was younger, I'd watch wrestling with my dad. Mm-hmm. And I would, like, dress like Hulk Hogan or Rowdy Piper or whatever. Yeah, Macho. I'd be like, oh, yeah. You know, I was in it. And then I got a little older, and I noticed my dad was still really into it. And I was like, I'm not so much into this, Dad. I'm sorry. And then he's like, I don't understand you, son. And I was like, well, it's kind of, if you look at it, it's like a soap opera for action fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, anymore, they would stop, and they would grab a mic, and they'd be like, I don't like you, and here's why. And then the other person would be like, well, I don't like you, and here's why. And then they'd be like, well, how can they solve it? They fight each other.
Right.
You know, so then they would go at it, you know, or somebody else would appear from a cable down. You know, it was so, like,
parodic. These athletes are playing out this drama for you. For your entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what was brilliant about the classic pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was about those characters.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, for example, the big thing with Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan.
Old friends, all of a sudden they're now rivals.
Right. And then that was classic when Hogan picked him up.
And slammed him and gave him the leg drive. Yeah, people were like, oh my God, wow.
They were like, picking up Andre the Giant alone.
Is no joke. 550 pounds, whatever the heck he was.
The man had to have a whole row for himself on a plane.
Yep.
Because no one else could fit.
He's so big.
He drank, the classic story, I think, is he drank like 60 beers
and
or something.
And didn't get buzzed.
Yeah. And to try to get drunk and still couldn't.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's that man. Yep. That's how huge he was. Larger than life. And my dad loved him. He loved Andre the Giant. Mm-hmm. He loved Hulk Hogan. And I understood that. I got that. It's when you got later on and you had like Cold Stone Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold, yeah. And those
Cold
other guys.
Cold Stone Steve Austin. Ice cream to the
I love this chocolate peanut butter.
I give you brain freeze.
Yeah, kind of like that. So, you know, it was way more soap opera-ish, you know, in a way for me. And I just couldn't get into it. And a couple of my friends were really into it. Derek, I'm sorry. But I just couldn't do it. And actually, my friend Derek and Brock from back home in Ohio, they still
watch it.
They'll go to the matches and stuff. Wow. Yeah, they'll still go. And they'll have a really good time. And I understand it in a way, but I still... But it's like them, you know, with me with comic books. They're like, yeah, okay. You know, you like reading these books. Those are children's books, you know? And I'm like, no, they're not, you know? And
nope.
They don't get me sometimes. I don't get them. But it's, you know, as long as you appreciate them as a person. Yeah, and respect them, it's fine. But so that's your team. So you would start out. The first one you would go with, it would be Swamp Thing, yeah?
Yes, he'd be like what the Daredevil was, like the flagship show.
And it would also show the oncoming of the rot.
Yes.
And how
yes,
that's would taking effect.
That. You establish that.
So what would be your second out of those five that you'd follow up with in this series?
The second one would probably be Constantine.
Constantine? Okay, that's a fair one. That one already has a following in a way because of the
movie
Keanu Reeves.
Only the movie, with Keanu Reeves, but the NBC series that they had for like 13 episodes. That guy that plays him, what's his Ryan? Something Ryan, Matt Ryan, I think, something like that. He was so popular as Constantine and so perfect, by the way, that they brought him back for an episode of Arrow
in the CW.
They brought him over into another comic book show.
And I hear he likes playing the character.
And that, yeah, he does. And that was the only good episode that season of Arrow, by the way. No offense, guys, but you need better writers, and you need them fast. Because I cannot take this drama. I cannot take, oh no, she doesn't like me. Oh, she likes me. Oh no, Arrow's going rogue. Oh no, he's not now. Oh no, he's accused of murder. Oh no, he's not now. It's so, no.
Repetitive?
Just stop it. Yeah. Like, the best show that the CW has is Legends of Tomorrow. And I know people will be like, it's The Flash, fight me. And I get that. Because The Flash is still a very good show in its own right. But it's not anywhere near as fun as Legends. Legends just has fun with what they're doing. Or at least they did in season 2. Season 1 looked like growing pains. Like they were trying to figure it out and they just couldn't. And you were like, aw, that's cute. You tried. But season 2, they really picked up with it, and they really, you know, picked the ball up and ran with it. It was really well done, I thought. So I would like to see something fun in that vein.
On Constantine's show?
You could. Okay. You could have something fun.
Yeah, because every show doesn't have to be exactly the same. You know, they can have a, you know, so one could be darker than the other, and one could be a little bit more fun.
Right. And, well,
and Constantine is more of a light character.
He's kind of a ladies' man. He's kind of a dick. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a fun guy. He likes to drink and have fun and stuff. So, you know.
And if you find a charismatic actor like that gentleman to play him,
I say go right for him. Be like, hey, dude. I think you're working on something else, but quit.
Give him, like, you know, whatever it is. If it's a 10-episode season or whatever, 12-episode season, you know, he can do it.
Yeah, of course. He can, because he's already done it, for starters. But, you know, he would love to have something that's actual, you know, better from the beginning. You know, something that actually has a good start and a good end versus the NBC series, which the beginning was a little rough. Mm-hmm. They actually reshot with, like, the lead because she wasn't seen as the best. So they replaced her with another lady and reshot those parts and stuff.
The chemistry, because there was lack of chemistry.
Yeah, something. That's strange, yeah.
That actor.
I know, that always sucks when that happens. You can talk to, what's his face from Back to the Future? Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah. Talk to him.
Poor guy.
Yeah. What a career maker that would have been. And nope.
But from what I heard, what I read, it just wasn't working. Like, he just wasn't funny enough. Like, he just didn't fit in. And they realized that when they looked at the dailies, like, wait a minute, this isn't working. So we got to find someone else.
Unfortunately, I was too young at the time, or they would have probably called me.
Yes, they would have.
Yeah.
They would have.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah. Who's the third one?
Dead Man. Dead Man would be awesome on television.
Really?
Boston Brand.
Okay. Interesting. So you're just saving that lady. Zatanna. You're just saving her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, fine. Zatanna, she's definitely in there.
Yeah. Well, if she's in there, yeah, but is it Zatanna and Dead Man together, or they have their own separate series?
You know what? I would give Zatanna a separate series.
From Dead Man?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, if you did have to pair somebody together, you could put Brand and Constantine.
That's true. But I think Deadman's tragic origins would be an interesting thing to play on for a series, in my opinion. I think it'd be interesting to explore what it's like to be him. And then much like how Daredevil season 1 went, when you would go back in time to go through his origin, you really empathize with the character, you see what created him.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be kind of cool to see it with Boston Brand, like, you know, why he does what he does.
Boston Brand was murdered while at the Big Top. He was a
circus performer.
I think it was like a high, he was like basically like
Dick Grayson. Like Dick Grayson.
Yeah, like a tightrope rocker and like an acrobat and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he got shot, like mid like leap or some shit. Somebody shot him and killed him. And he's, his persona, like his soul, went up to, not to heaven, but went to like some Indian god or something like that. I can't remember the exacts, but he went there, and this god, this female sort of god, was like, look, I'm going to put you back on Earth as a spirit to avenge the crimes of man to in my honor, so to speak. And, you know, you can go back, but the catch is that you're not going to be human anymore. You're going to be a spirit, but you can possess the bodies of humans. So it's basically this guy that can go around, and if, you know, he likes where Kevin lives, he can jump in his body, take it over, and then just go home there and be like, hey, this is cool. And then, you know, but also have to figure out who murdered him and fight other wrongdoings by jumping into bodies of people and preventing murders and evil crimes from happening.
And, of course, there's certain minds that are very difficult for him to possess.
Yes. Oh, okay. Batman being one of them.
Yep. And that's something that can be played into. If there's someone who's a very strong mind or a very powerful character in that respect, then now, of course, you got to create conflict. You got to make sure.
You have some good villains.
Yeah, some good villains.
Yeah.
You know.
I think, what's his face? Prometheus.
Which, by the way,
be pretty badass.
I just thought about something. For a season 2 team of Justice League Dark, wouldn't it be cool to include the Spectre? Since I'm mentioning Deadman, you know, Deadman doing some of his work, you can maybe at some point possibly include.
I don't think the Spectre should be good at first, though.
No, not at first.
Okay, because it is the wrath of God.
It's wrath of God. So maybe the Deadman, maybe later on you connect Deadman to the wrath of God at a later point.
Hint at it in season one. And they have to prevent the Spectre from coming, from the wrath of God, from coming and wiping all of mankind from Earth.
Yes.
Because he feels that they've done so much wrong.
Right.
So they have to figure out a way to stop the Spectre. Yeah, right. That could work.
And one thing that could work in the end of that, maybe one of these couple of these characters sacrifice their own lives.
Right. Amazon, are you writing this down? If you are, you owe us money.
As penance for the Earth. So people basically become a Jesus Christ type figure. I will sacrifice my life on behalf of humanity or to save humanity. So imagine maybe towards the end of all of this full story arc, you have one sacrifice, of them, or maybe all of them perhaps.
One of them does, and then like maybe in the third season of whatever, they have to go find him. It's a search for Spock.
Yeah, search for Spock.
There you go. All right, so Zatanna would be the fourth.
And then Etrigan the Demon, I think, would be an interesting fifth.
Oh, I thought you already picked him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You sure did.
You picked Animal Man.
Yeah.
No, Etrigan the Demon.
No, you did not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You had Zatanna and Animal Man with two left.
I'm so sorry, yes. Animal Man.
Kevin's been drinking a little bit. It's almost 2:30, and he's had a few. No. But anyway, so
Animal Man, that's right, because Animal Man, the red. Animal Man is also interesting because he'd be like the family man character, in the group, and you can focus on his life and how he became, you know, Animal Man.
Buddy Baker, he was an actor.
He was like, an actor
first, and or like I don't know,
kind of like Wonder Man in a way, in Marvel in a way, you know, kind of like the actor.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, know. But he could basically become any type of animal, like with their power.
With their power,
he didn't morph into an animal, but he could be like, I need the strength of a gorilla to bust through this door, and then you would see gorilla. Yeah. Basically, they just took the idea for Buddy Baker, Animal Man, and then they were like, let's put him in the body of a black woman and call him Vixen, which is why I never really liked Vixen that much. I'm going to be honest. I'm sorry, Vixen. Because I just felt it was such a ripoff of a character that already existed. But then if you look at, like, there's so many of the same characters, like, that claymation show, the one that Seth Green's involved in.
Oh, Robot Chicken.
Yes, thank you. Even Robot Chicken did one where there was like, it was like a DC special, I think, and all the ice villains came to the same bank. And there was like Mr. Freeze and Icicle and Killer Frost and a couple others that were like, you know, frozen
villains.
Captain Cold, I think, was there. And they were all there trying to rob the same bank. So it was kind of a funny thing. But yeah, there's a lot of like repetitive
characters.
So then you would do Animal Man, and then Zatanna would be what would like be that thread.
Zatanna. since I'm trying to find a way to connect magic to all of this, you know, collect magic to as a way to counteract the rot. If it was, they'll need her later.
Yeah.
At some point. But Animal Man, like I said, it would be a cool family movie, you know, Buddy Baker, what he's going through, and then you have the red, and then, of course, eventually, as we get along, you must connect the red to the green in order to take on the rot at the end of, oh, sorry, when we have the team-up of Justice League Dark.
I would probably save the Animal Man one for last, so you bookend it. You start with Swampy, you end with Animal Man, you start right. with the green, you end with the red, and you show the seriousness at the end of the red and what's going down in right. the human world.
And then they meet Swamp Thing.
And then basically, yeah, like some of them are going to intertwine. Paths. And I think the easiest one to do that would be Deadman. To have him just float into somebody else's body and say, hey, I'm Deadman. You know, there's a seriousness in the world I've noticed. I was brought back to life to help fight this battle.
Yeah, Deadman like possessed Buddy Baker's wife or something like that just by chance. Like, hey, yeah. you know.
Yeah, and it's right when they're about to do it, too.
Yes, perfect.
And, exactly. and then the girl's like, no! And then he's like, what's wrong, baby?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like this whole comedic moment. No? Not a good idea?
End of series.
And then they meet John Constantine at the supermarket.
Yeah, John, and he's getting milk.
He's getting milk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm sorry about Ichigran, because you know what? You said something about Ichigran earlier, so maybe I got those two confused.
Well,
so
no,
sorry.
It was Kim that said something about it, because that's her choice.
That's her choice. I'm so sorry.
That's my choice.
I'm
Segway.
So sorry. I'm so sorry.
Segway into Demon Knights.
Demon Knights. Okay. Demon Knights, that's a really cool idea. Entrican's a demon from what time?
Like Camelot, Merlin.
Okay. That oh, that's realm. Right. That's right. Merlin was like one of the dudes that I think
was
helped
like,
conjure
wait, was
him.
Was like Merlin like evil in a way? Had like a darkness to him?
Yeah, Merlin was half devil, half angel.
Mm.
He was on the side of both, technically. But he always ended up fighting for good, but he did have a dark side.
Dark side. All right.
As yeah. does everyone.
He had demon seed up in him.
Oh, boy.
That sounded awkward. But you know what I meant.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's Entrican's like was around the Camelot times.
Mm-hmm.
So are you talking about the DC series where he fought during the Camelot time?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So kind of like let's see what could I compare it to? Kind of like almost like a scope of Game of Thrones kind of thing. I could see that.
Like back throwback. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that where like Etrigan's fighting, he's like their war dog, so to speak, like King Arthur. Mm-hmm. So you'd have who's the female evil in the King Arthur times?
Madame Xanadu, right?
No. Madame Xanadu was DC Comics, but she was in that time, I believe,
oh, okay.
with Entrigan. But I think it was Morgana.
Oh, Morgana.
Morgana,
yeah.
And she could be like the big boss lady, of course, that's trying to ruin everything.
Yes.
And she sends out, like, all these creatures and demons and stuff, and then that's why they got to send out Etrigan,
mm-hmm.
like, and then Camelot, and then, like, there's people trying to supersede him and take the throne and stuff. So it could actually literally be a Game of Thrones.
So would season one take demons. Place during those medieval yeah. times, and then season two, would you bring them into modern times at some point?
Oh, I guess you could, yeah. I mean, you certainly could. That would definitely be kind of a cool twist. Like, there's a time travel thing at the end or something, and he ends up in the future bonded to the man, the detective.
Yeah.
Jason
Blood.
Jason Blood, thank you. He could end up in bonded to him then, and then it could be more of like that'd be kind of cool, because it'd be then like a detective story.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, and then when Entrigan would come to life, he would still think it was kind of like medieval times, and people would be like, there's this medieval demon coming after everybody in the city. And
that way you have like kind of that dark humor.
Yeah, and maybe Jason doesn't know. Like, you could do like a Hyde.
Jekyll
and Hyde, yeah.
Ooh.
To where
there's like all this destruction and he's trying to like.
Right,
like,
and
he's
like,
what the heck
happened? Trying
him.
To figure it out. Yeah, and it ends up being him.
That'd be kind of a cool thing, too, because it's like, yeah, you're investigating what this crime, like, man, this is terrible. And then when you get towards the end of the series, like, oh my God, I've been doing this the entire time.
Well, not
me.
The end of the series, because people are going to catch on really fast.
Yeah.
There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people that already know who that character is.
Mm.
But there's also going to be a ton of people that don't. So the catch is you hook him at the end of the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
You show when he wakes up and, like, he goes into the bathroom or something, written on the mirror you are, you know, Entergen or something, or I'm inside you or some shit like that. And he looks in the mirror and then, like, suddenly you see kind of, like, the image of the demon or a shadow behind him on the wall mm-hmm. when, like, something comes past. You know, and then you're like, oh, shit, he is the demon. And he doesn't know it. And then the whole season, the audience is in
audience
on it.
Audience is in on it, but he's not in on
but
it.
But he's not in on
yeah.
it. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'll be.
Like that.
Okay,
yeah.
that works.
Because
works.
Otherwise people will figure it out just by Googling it. You know,
right.
And
right.
that'll ruin the whole,
right, the whole
big
thing.
Reveal at the end. So just get it out there. But at the end of the pilot, to hook everybody, and then keep going with that whole thing and the detective for season two. But season one would still be very cool, I think,
yeah.
with that whole King Arthur and
King
type
Arthur
stuff.
King Arthur and time stuff, exactly.
I mean, King Arthur's been done to death.
Right.
So why not throw a demon,
demon
in there
twist in it.
Yeah.
And kind of twist it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if either one of you saw that Merlin series.
I saw bits and parts of it.
Okay.
Is that good?
That was great. It was great. It started out kind of corny, like Hercules, the Legendary kind of Journey kind of thing. Yeah.
I think that's where I maybe dropped off.
Yeah, a lot of people did. But if you stuck with it, it got really good. Like, really good. It lasted 5 seasons. It made it 5 seasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I went to their final panel at Comic-Con. They were talking about the 5th season and how great it was going to be. What they did not know is they were going to get canceled at the end of the 5th. So they told them about halfway through. So they ended up tacking on a quick ending to the last episode mm-hmm. to kind of bookend it and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hokey. Not perfect.
That's
but,
what I said. Wow. It'll give them time to finish the series.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of hard, though,
but,
too.
Yeah, you know, but it was better than nothing. Like, if you watch some shows, like The Mist, I just finished the 1st season of that, and that was on Spike TV. And it ended with a cliffhanger like a motherfucker. And you're like, oh, come on.
Right.
You know, it got canceled.
Right.
And you're like, really? Because it was actually a really good show. And I was invested in it, and then they just canceled
it
and gave them
to bring it back because we're in the bring back era.
Yeah, well, that would be lovely. I mean, until they bring back
bring
Invasion
back
from ABC, I will still not believe in that era.
Oh,
because
okay.
that show, Amazon, if you're listening, Invasion, that was on ABC in 2005. You should bring that back too because it was awesome.
Now, what's funny is Amazon has more resources than Netflix even. So Amazon can certainly put up the money if they really wanted to invest in something
oh,
like
yeah.
this.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to pop in real quick on,
sure.
I'm just going to do 2 quick ones because I know we're running out of time.
Okay.
My ideas would be, have you ever heard of Time Tracks?
Sounds familiar.
Okay. So a quick thing on Time Tracks, Captain Darian Lambert travels from the 22nd century to the present in search of fugitives from the future, including his arch nemesis, Dr. Mordecai Sambi, who's an insane scientist who does anything to avoid going back to the future. Which means he also, like, would take people from the future, and they all escaped, and then they went into different timelines in the past. So Darian Lambert, it was kind of like Quantum Leap, only you're a cop trying to find these villains in the past. So it was like Time Cop, too.
Okay.
It's like a mixture of the two. It was on, I think it was a UPN network or something, and it was syndicated. So this is how old it is. And it was actually very good, a very good series. It lasted not terribly long, but long enough to make a memory in my head. And I think that if we did that again, we could do it, but with Michael John Carter, a.k.a. Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
A timeline series where Booster Gold goes back in time, a la Legends of Tomorrow kind of thing, but done with a bigger budget, a little more money behind it. Booster Gold can get some notoriety and build that character. And I think it would be a hell of a lot of fun. Just a fun series of him going back in time to try to fix things that got messed up or were wrong
yeah.
or try to stop a crime from happening. You know, you have that with The Flash, I'm sure. You have that with Legends of Tomorrow. But there's this twist where he could be, you know, sent back or went back in time to find all these criminals that escaped from something or done something wrong in the future. And he's working with somebody to do that. I think that could be a very cool, very fun little series that Amazon could have that could just stand alone by itself. You know, and eventually you can, you know, throw in a couple other people. You could throw in, I don't know, maybe Ted Kord. I could be wrong there, but I don't know if anybody knows, but I did this web series called The Blue Beetle, Ted Kord Returns. It's on rubblespoon.com and YouTube, so check it out.
Watch it.
Love it. Kim also plays a character on there.
I do.
Yeah.
Body double.
Yep, so it was a lot of fun. Anyway, I think that would be a lot of fun. The other one I'm going to talk about is the one I touched on with you right at the beginning.
Yes.
Black Orchid. And the reason why I love this idea, again, it's kind of a detective-y type of series, but not really. Black Orchid's history is very interesting. Originally, when she was created, you would start out the comic book not knowing where she was or who she was. And then as the issue came to an end, she would reveal herself as being one of the characters that was throughout the whole comic all along, just in disguise. And then she would catch the bad guy. So it was like a murder mystery with a superhero disguised as one of the people on the train or in the mansion, something like that. She's basically Mr. Green from Clue. She's the one that, you know, is like, oh, I've been here undercover the whole time and I'm ready to. So each episode could be like this really cool murder mystery kind of thing. And you don't know who she is. And then at the end, she reveals herself.
She's Angela Lansbury herself.
Yeah. And uses she wrote it. But like a badass Angela. But a badass. Yeah. Right. That goes in and like grabs you and punches your face and, you know, throws you through a wall or some shit. I think that could be a very fun, cool idea. Again, a standalone. But eventually, she could join forces with Justice League Dark. Or she could just be by herself.
Like in the second miniseries, something like that, she can come in.
Right, because she was part of Justice League Dark for a little bit.
Right.
Also, she could just kind of appear like Claire did in, you know, all throughout all the Marvel stuff on Netflix. She could just appear and you wouldn't know
that she was there the whole time.
And then like maybe in one of the episodes.
She runs into Buddy Baker, she runs into Dead
She was
Man.
Like, oh, I was this person or I was that person. And you flash back and you see the person kind of staring in the background.
And you actually could connect her. She can assist a Buddy Baker or a Dead Man in something and they wouldn't even know that it was them. Actually, Dead Man would know.
Exactly.
But Buddy Baker or...
Yeah, I think that would be very cool. With that, I think that's gonna bring us to a close on this. We're going to probably do a part two on this one or another one, because I think there's...
Is there a lot of interesting concepts?
Yeah, I mean, we've only gone over, four technically.
Characters.
I think there's a lot more to do in the DC Universe, a lot more to mine. So Amazon, be ready for us. We're coming back at you at some point. But please find us on...
Instagram.
Yeah, Instagrammable.
YouTube.
Facebooky.
All those things.
iTunes.
Yep.
Right? And a whole loads of other things. We're on rumblespoon.com as well. We have our podcast there. And we have the Blue Beetle Ted Court Return series there. A lot of other things. So please find us, love us, follow us. Spread the word, yes. Tell people we're out there and we're cool. Okay, maybe not.
We tried.
Yes, with that, I'm Donald.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Kim.
And we'll see you
at the comic shop.